Hey, it's Friday. What is going on? It's a great day to be on the radio. Lakers going on last night. Blown out by Houston, 113-97. No LeBron, no JaVale McGee, no Alex Caruso, no Russell Westbrook for the Rockets. Another terrible night shooting for the Lakers. They were 2 of 19 from 3. Meanwhile, the Rockets went 21 of 57. Lakers play Indiana tomorrow afternoon, 1:30 pregame, 3 o'clock tip. And Dodgers coming off taking 2 out of 3 from the Padres. They're off to a 9-4 start, a game behind the Cubs for best record in the National League. Giants are at Dodgers Stadium for a 3-game series starting tonight against the Giants. And coming up for you in just about 20 minutes, Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, is going to join us. So, John, what the hell is going on with the shooting in this Lakers team?
Mace, I choose to quote the great Stanley Motts. Do you know who Stanley Motts is?
I know.
Stanley Motts is the character Dustin Hoffman played in Wag the Dog that was based on Robert Evans.
Yep.
And when he was asked questions like the one you just asked me, this is how Stanley Motts responded.
This is nothing. Did you ever shoot in Italy? Try 3 Italian startups, whack down on Benzedrine and Grappa. This is nothing. This is a walk in the park.
This is nothing,
okay,
Mace.
So
this is a walk in the park. Now,
this movie, wait a minute. This movie's how old now?
20 years, probably.
20 years, okay. Do you remember what happens at the end?
It all kind of blows up.
Stanley Motts gets whacked.
Well, you know why?
That's not a good thing.
No, you know why Stanley Motts got whacked?
Because he wouldn't go along with the pretend war thing?
He wanted the credit.
Right. He wanted the credit for the war.
He pulled a Steve Mason. He wanted the credit. It was important for him to have a star on the Walk of Fame
fake war. Don't quote characters who die.
No, wait a minute.
We don't want dead character quotes.
No, Robert Evans just died. You know,
I'm talking about Stanley Motts.
Yeah, but he was
the character in the movie, dead.
Yeah, he was based on Evans. Here's the thing. Follow my logic here, and you can tell me if I'm off in any way.
Okay, yeah, I will.
Okay? You completely throw out last night's game because LeBron didn't play, right? The Lakers have no chance to win the title without LeBron, so any game that he doesn't play and you just throw out, right?
Yeah, you can throw out aspects of it, sure.
No,
yeah,
the whole game. You have to throw it out.
No, the shooting is the shooting. The shooting is awful.
But wait a minute. If LeBron plays, then he goes flying down the middle, and every shot is more open.
John, they were 5 of 37 the previous game. They were 2 of 19 last night.
Right.
Danny Green looks awful. KCP shooting terribly. These are the guys they need to light it up.
You choose to look at the glass half empty. I choose to now. Last night there was a statistic that as long as I've been doing games, which is more than 20 years if you combine sidelines and play-by-play.
Yep.
I've never seen a line like this.
Okay.
Houston outscored the Lakers from beyond the arc 63-6.
Right.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying.
And even then, with 9 minutes to go, the Lakers were within 5. The Lakers went on a 16-3 run. They held the Rockets scoreless for 5 minutes. And they were within 5 with 9 minutes to go. So they could not have shot worse. The disparity from beyond the arc could not have been worse. Okay. It was 63-6.
Right.
And they were within 5
LeBron. Let me throw you something, see what you do with it.
Without LeBron, come on.
In their first 4 seeding games, the Lakers averaged just 99.3 points per game, ranking them last among the 22 teams. Last in field goal shooting, last in 3-point shooting percentage. Now, are you telling me there's not a shooting crisis with the Lakers?
It's depth perception in the bubble, Mace. The bubble gives a false, they're used to playing in Staples Center, which is a cavernous, wide open.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Filled with fans.
Sure.
Well, we got 4 more games to figure it out. Come on.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But you can't deny those numbers. Last in field goal shooting, last in 3-point percentage,
them.
And
I
last in offense per game.
I will deny until I die.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
Is that Naked Gun?
There is nothing to see here. Mace, these games don't matter. We're already locked
into
the number one
seed. Yeah, but you still want to see guys rounding into form.
Oh,
you want to see guys getting into playoff form.
We already
have it locked up. It's time for Danny Green to start making shots. It's
Danny Green's got two rings. Come on.
Yeah, he's not playing like a guy who's going to get a ring this year. He's playing – seriously, they brought him in because of his championship caliber talent, and he's obviously been part of two championship teams, but he's shooting terribly right now.
All is well. Remain calm. All is well, Mace. These games don't mean anything.
Now, I agree that they don't mean anything. At the same time, you want to see flashes of what they can be. You want to see now. And by the way, the one guy who's the exception to all this is Kuzma, who's been great in the bubble.
Right.
Kuzma going into last night
so
was 11 of 22 from
him?
Three. Well, there are multiple guys to focus on. Kuzma, I think, is playing really well right now. He's been playing well offensively. I just read a big piece on how he's playing defensively, a big improvement for him. But Danny Green, KCP, they need those guys to make baskets, and they have not been.
Hey, you want some good news? Some legitimate good news?
Yeah, yeah.
They just started the fourth quarter. Memphis is up on OKC by 20.
Yeah, 97-78.
Yeah, if Memphis wins even this game, this one game, they could hang on to the eighth seed, and that would mean Portland would have to beat them twice. Now, if you ask me, I think Portland probably would beat them twice. But if the Lakers draw Memphis in the first round, that's a big break, don't you think?
But here's the thing. Portland is just a half game back. They'd be a full game back if Memphis wins this game. But it's still only one game.
Right. But if Memphis...
Who owns the tiebreaker?
We asked that question yesterday to Joe Vardon, and he said it's a big, long, drawn-out...
It's a big, long explanation. I just want to know who's got to win two and who's got to win one.
I was told there would be no math. So,
and what about Phoenix? Streaking Phoenix. They're two back, 4-0 in Orlando.
Yeah, but if Memphis could win this game and then just one more... Just one more game, I think
so they're
they muck
wins,
it all up.
So they're two wins away. Seal this one, and then one more win, and they will be the eight?
They'd be the eight or the nine. We want them to be the eight.
Yeah, we want them to be the eight. We want Portland to have to win two.
Correct. And then Memphis maybe Ja Morant's a game, and we get lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, obviously the matchup you want to dodge in the first round is Portland. It makes complete sense. Nurkic's back, Collins back. You got two elite guards that'll be a handful for the Lakers. And I still remember that first game after the Kobe tragedy when Dame Lillard went for, what did he go for, 50, I think, in that game, that Friday night at Staples Center?
Yeah, well, that was a Kobe return game, though.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. But that's what Dame Lillard is capable of. He can go off at any time. He makes things a little scary. Now, do you think that's a five-game or a six-game series?
Memphis or
no,
Portland?
Portland.
Six.
Yeah, I think that's a six-game series.
Yeah, which takes a little tread off your tires.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a tougher series. We're rooting for Memphis. Memphis, I think they got a chance to sweep. Or at least gentlemen sweep.
I'm trying to figure out if Memphis has it. Boy, Portland has the tiebreaker over a lot of other people, but Memphis may have the tiebreaker over Portland. We'll get an answer to that.
Yeah, yeah. Call Joe Vardon. Maybe he's done the math.
No, he didn't know. We asked him yesterday.
Oh, he didn't know?
Yeah, he didn't know.
If I was Joe Vardon, I immediately look it up. So if I get asked that question again, I would know the answer. Does that not make sense? Of course it does.
Yeah. Portland, okay. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm going to keep digging.
Now, you cited a number yesterday about shooting percentage from the three-point range.
Right.
And you pointed out that a lot of the teams that are high in shooting percentage aren't necessarily the best teams in the league.
Yeah, about 5 out of 10.
Okay, so Lakers are 24th in field goal percentage. They're also 24th in three-pointers made.
Okay, now hold on. They're 24th in three-point field goal percentage. They're number one in overall field goal.
So the Lakers are 24th in three-point field goal percentage. They are 24th in three-pointers made. Listen to the top 10 amongst three-pointers made. Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, Toronto, Milwaukee, Miami, Minnesota, Utah, Brooklyn, Portland. So basically, you're talking about...
I choose to focus on Minnesota on that list.
You're talking about eight of the 10 teams who are going to be in the playoffs. Three-point shooting is a necessary part of being successful. And in the end, they're going to have to try to make shots because teams, we saw it with Toronto, teams are going to try to do everything they can to take the game away from Anthony Davis and make the Lakers shoot. And the Lakers got to make shots.
Well, I think we can agree that if the Lakers don't make shots, they're not going to make it. I mean, they can't continue to shoot how they're shooting, but they're not going to. They'll regress to the mean at some point, won't they?
Well, that is that's the ideal. I mean, in the end, if you look at it, KCP shot 38% from beyond the arc in the regular season. Danny Green shot 37%. Kuzma's way out shooting his regular season percentage. He was shooting 29%, but he's improving a lot now. I think he's 12 of 26 right now from beyond the arc in these first seeding games. The one thing that I think we need to point to and highlight that we sort of blew off at the beginning. We have Jackie McMullen here. Here she is talking about missing Avery Bradley.
You know, I do think you can't stress enough, at least whenever I talk to any coaches or GMs about the Lakers, they just say you can't make enough of the fact that Bradley isn't there. That perimeter defense was so important to making them one of the top three defenses all year in the league. And, you know, some of the things that the Lakers have been struggling with early can be fixed. That cannot be fixed. I mean, Avery Bradley isn't coming back. Now, Rondo, we know he's working out in Orlando, so maybe he's getting closer to a return. But Avery Bradley's not coming back, as Rick Pitino would famously say. He's not walking through that door.
Yeah, I mean, I think the loss of Avery Bradley is actually more important than we originally took it. She's right about missing an elite, a really good perimeter defender. And they're also missing a guy who made 36% of his threes during the course of the regular season. So that's a significant blow and one that we haven't talked a lot about, but I think is turning out to be meaningful.
I mean, I don't want to tell you that Avery Bradley makes no difference because he does. He's a good player. But Anthony Slater from The Athletic wrote an article today talking about how KCP does a lot of things that Avery Bradley does. It's when you get past KCP. KCP was a good replacement for Bradley, but when you lose Bradley, now the guy backing up KCP is either Caruso or Dion Waiters.
Correct, yeah.
So that's, you know, Caruso really needs to play big.
And good God, Dion Waiters will just chuck it up from anywhere.
Right, but I don't mind that. I kind of liked him. What'd you think of Talen Horton Tucker?
He gave him nice minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought he played pretty well. Now, you
yeah,
know,
I thought he gave him nice minutes.
Do you know the backstory on him?
No.
All right, youngest player in the NBA. He's 19. Okay. He doesn't turn 20 until November. And the Lakers actually bought him. He got drafted by somebody else, and then the Lakers, you can buy draft picks. They bought him, and they kind of stashed him because he broke his foot before the he had a stress fracture in his foot before the draft combine, and they've just been kind of hiding him. He's been really good on the G League team this year. And they decided to invite him just in case he came into his own. And I think Frank Vogel threw him out there last night because these games, the result doesn't mean a ton. And, you know, if he could give him even 5 minutes, that would help. In the G League this year, Mace, he averaged 18.6 rebounds and 4 assists. He played only 1 year at Iowa State.
Hmm.
And then he was drafted 46th by Orlando. But I love the fact that he's only 19. And you just use him as a project and see if he comes along early.
I thought he gave him really solid minutes last night. I mean, it's going to be an opportunity to sort of experiment a little bit. I don't know how long this LeBron thing. I assume at some point Anthony Davis is going to sit out one of these games. I would just assume that that's going to be the case. They've got what? Five games. So they've got three games left.
Yeah, they just released the injury report for tomorrow. Both LeBron and Caruso were upgraded to they used to be doubtful, now they're just questionable, so they both could play. And AD's on the list, but yeah, my guess is they both play tomorrow. The game I think they may all sit might be the Sacramento game on Thursday.
Well, they could probably still win that game.
well, and it really won't mean anything.
No, I mean, the games, that's the thing. I mean, this is you'd like to see them shooting better during these games. And the games, it doesn't really matter if they win or lose the games. It's just the underlying numbers are so scary. I mean, John, in their last two games, they've made 7 3-pointers.
Eh.
7 3-pointers.
Yeah, all is well. Remain calm.
Yeah, I'm not calm.
Remain calm. All is well. All is well.
Hey, you want some more good news?
Yeah.
Mookie Betts is back in the lineup tonight.
Oh, good. That's great. Great news. Well, let's get a break in because coming up next for you is the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, 9-4, off to a really good start. We'll get Dave in here next. A bunch coming up for you today. Lindsay Theory is going to be with us for in a little while. Rams training camp is officially underway. Gotham Choper, who's working on a big Tom Brady series, is going to be here. All kinds of stuff coming up for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woo-woo, let's go Friday, getting ready for the weekend, getting ready for Lakers basketball tomorrow, Dodgers baseball tonight against the San Francisco Giants. Dave Roberts expected to join us in a minute or two here, but first, Adam Bronstein, who is on the board today, filling in for Funch, you actually were at SoFi Stadium today.
Oh, yeah.
In the radio booth. What is it like inside there?
Oh, it is absolutely beautiful. It's amazing. I haven't had the chance to go see Jerry's World or any of these other brand new stadiums, but man, SoFi, when people get to see it finally, it's amazing.
What's the Oculus, that gigantic scoreboard like?
Yeah, that thing is huge. You can see stuff on the inside and the outside. I've got to hop off mic so I can get Dave ready for you.
All right. Okay. Got it. Hop off. I envy Adam. I would like to go inside SoFi Stadium and see what it looks like inside. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that during the regular season. Although there is a report that if allowed, the Rams are going to allow 15,000 fans at each game.
Well, the last I heard, and I know baseball has had some serious ups and downs, but the last I heard is they haven't completely ruled out some fans by the end of the baseball season.
Yeah. Well, players got to really tighten up because Right. It's been the Cardinals added somebody with COVID, so they're now postponed again today. The Marlins look like they healed up. They actually are 5-1, which is crazy, despite the fact that they had that big COVID outbreak. And the Cardinals and the Cubs are the one game that is postponed tonight because of COVID, because the Cardinals turned up another positive test. So two outbreaks, Marlins and Cardinals. But for the most part, aside from those two outbreaks, baseball's been pretty decent.
I was just going to say that baseball's been taking a lot of heat, and there's been a lot of focus on the Marlins and a lot of focus on the Cardinals as to, you know, did they go out? Did they break protocol? No one's paying attention to the overwhelming successful games they've been able to pull off.
Yep.
You know, for the most part, most of baseball has been pretty good, and most of baseball hasn't had to postpone games. I know it's risky when even one team, I understand the whole risk, but I think most of baseball is getting this right and not getting enough credit for that.
All right, joining us right now is the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Dave Roberts. Dave, how are you, man?
So, you know what? I'm doing great, guys. You guys have got to be high up on my list if I'm putting my closer off on a meeting because I want to hang out with you guys for a minute.
Excellent.
What about that?
Dave,
cool, man.
We are honored. And we were just talking about Kenley Jansen the other day. I know his velocity is up. It's up normal where you like to see. It was a little bit of a roller coaster the other day in Arizona. Where do you see Kenley's progress right now?
I think number one with Kenley, I just love where he is physically and mentally. And I think that that's for any big league ball player, if you can check those boxes, you have a great opportunity to have success and be consistent. So, we pitched him He's been pretty much, knock on wood, he's been flawless this year. And, you know, I just feel so confident when he's in the baseball game. And Kenley's had a tough road. You know, you talk about last year and some of the things he had to go through with his heart and still try to keep that out of his mind and still be a pro. And this year with what happened with the pandemic and being infected with his family, and to kind of right the ship and be an advocate for people being safe and still being a pro, has been a big lift for all of us.
Dave, there was a really cool ending to Wednesday night's game, which I think in a lot of ways helps to tell the story of your early season success. Let's go ahead and play that.
First pitch, line to left field. Taylor is there, makes the catch. Here's the throw to the plate. It is there, and the game is over. And the Dodgers take the series from the Padres.
This line drive gets him some momentum coming forward. He plays it perfectly. He knows what's on the line, and the throw is on the line. Great tag. That feels just as good as a walk-off home run for Chris Taylor, a walk-off assist.
Courtesy Sportsnet LA. Dave, I just read a huge analytics piece about your team defensively. And the analysis is that you may have one of the best defensive teams in a really long time in baseball. It is often overlooked, run prevention. But talk about that play from Taylor and just generally speaking, the defense.
You know what? That's a great call, you know, with Joe and Oral with that call. That was amazing. And, yeah, that was a great series for us to, you know, win 2 out of 3 in San Diego. Very good ball club, very talented. But I do think that the defensive metrics are real with our players. I think that, you know, you talk about the versatility where you can put Chris Taylor anywhere on the diamond, a Kike Hernandez, you know, you can stick Cody anywhere, Max Muncy, and also for those guys to be plus defenders. And I think that, you know, people are so quick to do the, you know, looking at the Dodgers and talking about payroll and talent, but really don't dig into the buy-in, the analytics as far as positioning, how we approach hitters and make pitches and how we attack guys and being in the right places, but also a play like Chris Taylor made, you know, that's 93.3 miles an hour on a dime. Will Smith makes a great tag, and, you know, we win a baseball game. So all that stuff, but you look around, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Chris Taylor, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, these guys are plus defenders, and certainly makes our pitching staff and our ball club much better.
We're talking to Dodger manager Dave Roberts. Dave, I've heard you say before, since you've been the manager, that this is a performance-based business, and sometimes the players on your roster make decisions for you. And it popped into my head that maybe Edwin Rios is one of those guys. I saw you have him in the lineup tonight at third base. The thing that's unusual about Rios is that he's 26. Like, it's not like he's been doing this forever. He's just really developed and come into his own lately. Why do you think? Why do you think Rios is so good right now?
Well, I was telling somebody earlier, guys, that Edwin Rios is probably, if we look at spring training, the first spring training we had in February to now, he's probably the most improved player we've had, and he's done a lot with his body to maintain his strength, but also to kind of slim down a little bit. The lateral movement, working with his feet, the hands are working better, the arm strength, the accuracy, all that stuff. This is a young man that's very focused, doesn't have a whole lot of service time, and guys love him, guys gravitate towards him. He's always trying to learn or work to get better. And, you know, being a little bit around Chase Utley, Justin Turner, Dino Ebel, our coaches, the hitting guys, all this stuff on the margins, he's trying to get better as a major league ball player. And like you guys said, you know, and I've told you guys this many times over, it's not me, the manager, that makes the lineup. It's the players. You know, you play well, you're going to get an opportunity. And for us tonight to get JT off his feet, to have Eddie play third base is big for all of us.
Dave Roberts is with us, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Cody Bellinger's off to a slow start. He's 9-53 to start the season. Normally you'd say, all right, that's just a bad start and there's plenty of season left. All of a sudden it's 20%. The season is 20% gone. What's that dynamic like when you're pressing a little bit? I know you gave him that day off last Saturday and came back to hit a home run on Sunday. But what's that dynamic like? A shortened season and scuffling to start the year.
I think that the trick, guys, is we're all talking about the truncated season, and you're talking about pressing, getting off to a good start. It's a sprint, not a marathon. But I think that when you're talking about whether pitcher, hitter, I think these guys have really got to understand that there's times in every season that you're not locked in. You know, things aren't going your way, and you can't let it bleed to the next day or make it, you know, essentially a year-long slump or not success. I don't think that this year is going to be looked at. It can't be looked at as a regular year in so many different perspectives. So I think my message is to the guys is worry about tonight and help us win a baseball game. And that's kind of been consistent with my tenure here and the coaches. And I just think that's the only way you can handle it. Because to look at, you know, 140 out of the gate with 53 at-bats or whatever it is, and to say, I need to hit X to get to 300, that's just a tough strategy. And I just don't like it. Whereas I just want Cody, whether it's Max Muncy, Cody, Justin, just go out there, take good at-bats, help us win a baseball game. And whatever the numbers are at the end of 20, they are. But the goal is to help us win a championship.
Dave Roberts is with us. Dave, you've been using Bresder Gratterall. You've been using Blake Treinen. Are those guys, in your mind, auditioning for you to be part of the bullpen rotation? Or in your mind, in a shortened season like this, they're already there? You've got them penciled in to pitch on a moment's notice.
Well, they're all there. We don't have roles in the bullpen outside of Kenley. And you know, when you get a guy like Joe Kelly or Blake Treinen to say, hey, if it's a sixth inning, I'll pitch the sixth inning. If it's the fifth, if it's the eighth, whatever you guys need, I'll do. So Brusdar, which we're very fortunate to get him in a trade from the Twins, his nickname I thought was the Buffalo, but I guess self-proclaimed Bazooka. So, guys, we got to refer to him as the Bazooka.
The Bazooka.
So it's 100. Yeah, it's 101 mile an hour sinker. And he said he just takes a little bit off because he wants to be around the plate, but he can get it up to 104. But Brusdar is fantastic, guys, and he's a guy that we're continuing to learn more about. And there's some training wheels on there right now, but we're looking forward to giving them some more leverage situations. But, yeah, we've got, like I told you guys from the beginning, I think our bullpen is going to be a position of strength, and that's the way it's playing out so far this year.
So Walker Buehler's off to he had to build him up. He wasn't ready to go at the start of the year, wasn't ready to go deep. Where is he in terms of being ready to go deeper into games?
Walker, you know, it's more of, it was a late ramp up. Yeah, he's had two starts. His next start here will be against the Giants on Sunday. And I think at that point in time, it's a 5-75, 85 situation like that. But, you know, Walker will take the ball and he'll go out and throw 120 pitches. But, you know, with him, with all of our guys, we still have to take the long view. But, you know, I do think that, you know, once it's all said and done, the numbers will be there and, you know, he'll be starting a playoff game for us.
Dave, last thing for me, you are, and we know this from both covering you as a player and as a manager, you're an optimistic person. You're a glass half full guy. You tend to deal in positivity. Have you had to change that in this COVID-19 era? Do you need to be a little more reserved and grounded, or do you feel like your message and your personality has remained the same through all this?
Well, that's a good question. That's fair. But I will say that my outlook on things personally, professionally, hasn't changed. I'm always an optimist. And as far as being grounded, I do think that the conversations that we've had, you know, before, during the pandemic, during quarantine, summer camp, and even now, have been deeper. And I think this is very good for all of us, for our growth, for the players and coaches to continue to build trust. But you know, we've known each other, guys, for 20 years, more than 20 years. And I just think that, you know, certain situations always breed opportunities. And I don't want to sound trite, but I do believe that. And guys are learning more as they're going. This is a different type of situation we're going through. And another message that we're talking about is, you know, win the battle, you know, not only on the field, but off the field. You know, this season of Major League Baseball is ultimately going to be a battle of attrition. And we're learning that more and more each day as different teams are going through different deals in their organizations and with their teams. But our guys have looked at it from a good outlook and taken the responsibility on themselves. And it just made me appreciate our guys that much more.
All right. Well, listen, Dave, congratulations on the great start. We appreciate you coming on an awful lot, and we will talk to you down the line, man.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Thank you,
Dave.
Dave
Roberts there. I think there are lots of reasons to be optimistic about this Dodgers season. The rotation has been really, really good, despite the fact that Clayton Kershaw missed a start. Ross Stripling has looked really good. Walker Buehler rounding into form. Dustin May has been fantastic in that rotation. The bullpen has been really good. Gratterall's been really good. Blake Treinen, I don't think, has given up a run yet. Kenley Jansen can be a little bit dicey at times, but that is his role, and they're going to stick with him. And then defensively, they are spectacular. From one end of the diamond to the other, from left foot pole to the right foot pole, unbelievable defense, and that's one of the understated things that's going on that people don't necessarily notice. Their run prevention, fantastic.
Mace, good news.
Okay.
Grizzlies victorious.
Yes.
So Ja Morant and the Grizzlies finally win a game. And
go
that
Ja!
That means that, you know, Portland is a game behind them, but that means we want Memphis to stay in that eight and make Portland work a little bit to get into the playoffs. So this is a big win. Can we get one more from the Grizzlies?
One more for Ja.
You've lost four in a row. Now you got to win. And they blew out Oklahoma City. They killed them. So one more, and we're in business.
All right, coming up next, John, do you drink coffee in the morning?
Lisa does, my wife, all the time.
So I came across somebody's coffee routine that is absolutely ridiculous. Do you know who it is?
No.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's going to be lunchtime with Mason in Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? So I came across, John, I think this is interesting, because you're not a coffee drinker, but you're
not
a person of routine. You do stuff first thing in the morning, right? So Phil Mickelson has a crazy coffee routine. So he tweeted this out. First of all, he only drinks the coffee that he endorses. It's called Coffee for Wellness, and it's supposed to be coffee with, like, vitamins and all kinds of stuff in it.
Right.
So he drinks that. But into that coffee, he puts collagen protein powder, something called MCT powder. He adds Himalayan sea salt. It's a natural energy resource. He adds cinnamon. That's for anti-inflammatory qualities. He adds Manuka honey, whatever that is, good for the immune system. He adds a capsule of amino acid called Alfini, which prevents the jitters. He pours in his brewed coffee, adds a little almond milk, takes a little whipper, whips the whole thing up. Does that sound like too much?
I'm exhausted just hearing that.
Is that crazy? Honestly, that's like just a crazy, insane. I don't even know if there's room for coffee at that point. He's put so much of this stuff in. But I always wonder about these supplements. Like, do you take any supplements?
I take seven different pills every day, but about half of them are vitamins. But I don't take, like, anything like that.
Like what vitamins do you take?
I take a multivitamin. I take a vitamin C. I take a Sudafed every day to keep my voice clear.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get anything out. I take, what's the thing you take for allergies? The blue one?
It's Allegra?
Like that.
Claritin.
Like that. Claritin.
Claritin. There you go.
Yeah. And,
Know, that's just speed.
Well, maybe that's why I'm always hyper.
Yeah. Claritin, speed.
Well, I need it to, my big worry.
That's why you have to give them your you know how you have to give them your driver's license when you buy that?
Yeah.
It's because if you get enough of that stuff, you make meth.
Well, I just take
it's
one.
Speed.
I just take
that's
one.
Not Claritin. That's the
Sudafed. I have to give my license for Sudafed. But I don't take like Himalayan sea salt and you know what else.
See, because I always see these commercials. We watch sports, right? So we see all these commercials all the time for supplements like CoQ10. Now, should I be taking CoQ10? I'm unclear on what it's actually supposed to do. Do you know?
I saw an interview with Bill Romanowski once, and he said he took 110 pills a day.
What about fish oil? Do you take fish oil?
Fish oil, they said it would be good for something. I don't remember what. I took it briefly. I don't anymore.
And then all that brain performance stuff I wonder about. They say you improve your memory and
well, in your case, you could take all those brain pills, but then you just get stoned every night.
I'm taking something else for my brain, something that mellows me out. Anyway, that's Phil's coffee routine. I put this out, John. Thank you very much. It's going to be a great week. A great week off. So I put this out. If you're a Lakers fan, how concerned are you about the Lakers' awful shooting? One is not concerned at all. 10 is freaked out.
You know what I say? Zero.
Zero. So what do you think people are saying? How are they responding?
Fans or fanatics, I think they're about a 6 or a 7.
Johnny Reyes says 6. Ted Stryker, our old friend Ted Stryker, who's now I think is doing the morning show at K-Rock, he says 7.3. Shake and Bake says 1. David says 6. S. Rod Jr. says 2. 10 says Wheezy Blue.
Oh,
I've
Wheezy.
Said it since AB decided to sit out. I really think that may be it for us. I understand, but I don't know if I will ever forgive him. Oh, come on, dude. I think if Deion took his place in the starting lineup and we kept the exact rotations, we may still have a chance. Wheezy Blue is way over the top on this.
Well, let me tell Wheezy why he's wrong about never forgiving any player who would opt out.
Yeah, that's the part I don't get.
Avery has a child that has respiratory issues. Keeping that child safe is his
ultimate priority.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't hold that against any, but not just Avery, but any player that opts.
Yeah, Wheezy Blue.
Sorry, Wheezy.
So there is some legitimate concern out there.
Because
we've seen a shocking shooting, atrocious shooting. Like, I can't remember. Like, when do you think the last time the Lakers would have shot, 5?
Well, I've never worked a game.
7 for 54.
I've never worked a game where one team outscored the other one 63-6 from beyond the arc. And that's what happened last night.
They're shooting over their last two games, John, 12% from three.
You know what I say?
What?
Better now than in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. It can only go up. It can only go up.
You know, when good baseball players, like, go 0 for 20 – you don't want that in the playoffs.
Yeah, I wondered about that, by the way. He answered. I thought Dave answered that in an interesting way about Cody Bellinger. He's 9 of 53 with 2 home runs to start the year. He's batting 170. And as it was pointed out today, as Buster only pointed out, that's 20% of the season is gone. You know, you start thinking about, shoot, I'm batting 170 for 20% of the season. How do I climb myself out of that? And I don't think you can get that out of your head. Like, I don't think you can keep yourself from pressing, knowing that the season is kind of moving along and, in a way, slipping away. Now, I think Cody Bellinger is going to find a way to get into the right gear and adjust his stance. Remember, he changed his stance coming into the season, going with a more upright stance and being a little bit more on top of the plate. He's probably playing with that stance even as we speak. And I think he will get it turned around. But wouldn't you be, if you were Cody Bellinger, batting 170, pressing right now?
No, and here's why. You've already said many times with these expanded playoffs, the Dodgers are in for sure. The only thing he needs to worry about is get it right by October. Get it right by October. That's all that matters. If we were in a situation where only the division champion went to the playoffs, then yeah, I'd be pressing. But they're going to make it. He just needs to get his stroke right over the next 2 months.
So how do you explain that, John, to people? I don't know. I mean, I have a friend who is Cody Bellinger on his fantasy baseball team.
Yeah, it's you.
It's killing me.
Right.
Come on, Cody. Pull out of this.
Do you remember what Steven Jackson said about when the guy came, said, "Hey, Steven, your fantasy team's killing me." He said, "F your fantasy team, clown."
Yes.
That's why my response to you. No one cares about your fantasy.
Still doesn't help me in the standings. All right.
No one cares.
Right now, load up the phones, 877-710-ESPN. We've got our HBO Hard Knocks NFL Shop giveaway. You can call right now, 877-710-ESPN. Yeah, it's crazy. $100 gift card to NFLShop.com, plus qualify for the grand prize of 55-inch big screen TV. This season, Hard Knocks will follow two teams, the Rams and the Chargers. Watch the premiere on Tuesday at 10 p.m. on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. Load up the phones. Very simple. Closest without going over game for a $100 gift card to NFLShop.com and potentially a 55-inch big screen TV. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And soon to be your middays. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. John, I'm on vacation next week, which means when I get back, we will be in middays. We will be starting at 1 o'clock, probably at 12:55 sharp.
I now also believe that you hold the record for most vacations in a pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to use them. What can I say? I'm going to use those vacation days. I'm not allowed to carry them over. I've got to use them, and I'm going to use them. Make no apologies.
Yeah, I just don't. What are you going to do on vacation?
We took
a
house in Palm Springs. Yeah, we took a house in Palm Springs, got a grill, got a pool, got a jacuzzi. It's going to be friggin' hot as hell.
I was going to say, isn't it like 110 there?
It's going to be 110, but it's a little break. It's a little break, which I need before we start on our new time slot and as we start for the NBA playoffs.
All right, so you want me to bring somebody on before you explain what this game is?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here's Joey on line one. Hey, Joey.
Hello?
Joey.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
man.
Good, Joey.
Doing? All right, what's the question, Mace?
Okay, so this is for a $100 gift card to NFLShop.com and qualify to win a grand prize of a 55-inch big-screen TV. Here is the question, Joey. How many seasons of Hard Knocks has there been? Closest without going over.
How many, Joey?
21.
21.
Okay, next is Caesar in Whittier. Hey, Caesar, how many seasons of Hard Knocks has there been?
10.
All right. Next up is, Siri, be quiet. Jerry in Bloomington. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys, I'm going to say 13.
13.
All right. Here's Vincent in Azusa. Hey, Vincent.
Yes.
How many?
I'm going to say 14.
Ooh.
Okay. Samuel in Orange County. Hey, Samuel.
Let's go 15.
15.
All right, so somebody's probably trying.
There's
trying
a 13,
to hit it on
there's
the
a 14, there's a 15.
All right, last one, Sam in Anaheim. Sam, how
14,
many?
14.
Already taken.
16.
16, okay.
16.
Mace, who's the winner?
The correct answer, Samuel, 15 seasons of Hard Knocks.
Oh,
congratulations
wow.
to Samuel. Hit it on the nose. Way to go, man. $100 gift card to NFLShop.com and a chance to win a 55-inch big-screen TV.
Sweet. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks.
Cool. And don't forget, this season, Hard Knocks will follow two teams, my team, the Rams, and that other team, Chargers. Watch the premiere on Tuesday, August 11 at 10 p.m. on HBO and stream it on HBO Max.
I bet Adrian, I think you were here that day. I bet Adrian Garcia two bottles of tequila that the Rams will win more games than the Chargers. Am I going to win that bet?
Yeah. Oh, right. Come on. Do you even need to ask that?
Well, yeah, it's not. The Rams are favored to finish last by a lot of people in their division.
Wait a minute. No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they aren't.
I just read two predictions alone that said that the division is Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals, Rams.
Oh, that's garbage, not the Cardinals.
Well, the Cardinals, a lot of people think, are on the rise.
I know.
They went out and got DeAndre Hopkins.
That's the cool hip flavor and all
that
stuff.
And they drafted that guy out of Clemson. They had the best. They got the best player in the draft. So we'll see. But Cliff Kingsbury is unproven. He's like McVay light. We have the real McVay.
Right. I want to see those odds. Where the hell are those odds?
Well, no, just Google NFC West predictions about how I've met. Have you seen anyone picking the Rams to win that division?
No. I wouldn't pick them. I wouldn't pick them.
Have you seen anyone picking them to finish anything other than third or fourth?
Here's the odds. San Francisco 5-7, Seattle 7-2. Wow, they've got the Rams and the Cardinals both at 6-1.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I'm not a believer.
That doesn't mean anything. They're just predictions.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in the Cardinals. I know everybody's all hot on the Cardinals, and I'm sure Kyler Murray is going to be a really good fantasy quarterback, especially with DeAndre Hopkins added to the mix. But defense completely unproven, and our boy Cliff Kingsbury completely unproven. By the way, we're going to talk to Lindsay Theory coming up. Lindsay actually had a – did you hear her confrontation, her dramatic confrontation with Jalen Ramsey?
That doesn't sound like Lindsay.
Oh, yeah, dramatic confrontation.
Do you have it?
With Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, we will play it for her at 4:15. That is coming up. All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.